The desire to treat terrible events as the harbinger of the end of civilization itself also has roots in another human trait, vanity. We all believe we live in an exceptional time, perhaps even a critical moment in the history of the species. Technology appears to have given us power over the atom, our genomes, the planet, with potentially dire consequences. This attitude may stem from nothing more than our desire to place ourselves at the center of the universe. It's part of the fundamental limited perspective of our species to believe that this moment is the critical one and critical in every way, for good, for bad, for the final end of humanity, says Nicholas Christenfeld, a psychologist at the University of California, San Diego. Imagining the end of the world is nigh makes us feel special. Our fears of the apocalypse may, in the end, mirror the most fundamental fear of all, fear of our own mortality. It is all of a piece, death, the dissolution of our people, the extinction of our species. Regardless of how we feel about it, flux is the nature of the world, and endings are inescapable and an often overlooked part of life. That is why we chose to devote the lion's share of this issue of Scientific American to the theme of endings. We look at the chance that civilization will fall to pandemic or asteroid, to the loss of indigenous knowledge spread among the cultures of the world, to the declining resources that our planet will struggle to provide. Some of these endings are more probable than others. Some, such as the end of time, are downright paradoxical. We start our journey, though, with a look at the inevitable, the private end that we will all have to face, and our efforts to forestall it. In Why Can't We Live Forever? Thomas Kirkwood, a professor at Newcastle University in England, reports on how scientists may be able to extend our lives once the mysteries of aging have been unraveled. If you were given a free hand to plan how your life will end, your last weeks, days, hours, and minutes, what would you choose? Would you, for example, want to remain in great shape right up until the last minute and then go quickly? Many people say they would choose that option, but I see an important catch. If you're feeling fine one moment, the very last thing you would want to do is drop dead the next. And for your loving family and friends, who would suffer instant bereavement, your sudden death would be a cruel loss. On the other hand, coping with a long, drawn-out terminal illness is not great either, nor is the nightmare of losing a loved one into the dark wastes of dementia. We all prefer to avoid thinking about the end of life, yet it is healthy to ask such questions, at least sometimes, for ourselves and to correctly define the goals of medical policy and research. It is also important to ask just how far science can help in efforts to cheat death. It is often said that our ancestors had an easier relationship with death, if only because they saw it so much more often. Just 100 years ago, life expectancy was shorter by around 25 years in the West. This literal fact of life resulted because so many children and young adults perished prematurely from a whole variety of causes. A quarter of children died of infection before their 5th birthday, a young woman frequently succumbed to complications of childbirth, and even a younger gardener, scratching his hand on a thorn, might be lost to fatal blood poisoning. Over the course of the past century, sanitation and medical care so dramatically reduced death rates in the early and middle years of life that most people now pass away much later, and the population as a whole is older than ever before. Life expectancy is still increasing worldwide. In the richer countries around the world, it lengthens 5 hours or more every day, and in many developing countries that are catching up, the rate quickens still faster. Today, the dominant cause of death is the aging process itself and the various diseases to which it gives rise, whether cancer, which drives cells to proliferate out of control, or Alzheimer's at the opposite pole, which causes premature death of brain cells. Until as recently as 1990, demographers predicted confidently that the historical trend of increasing life expectancy would soon cease. Aging, many researchers believed, was fixed, a process programmed into our biology that resulted in a built-in time of death. No one foresaw the continued increase in life expectancy. It has taken our politicians and planners by surprise. Scientists are still coming to terms with the notion that aging is not fixed, that average lifespans have not reached a limit.